السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم
السلام عليكم
السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته شيخ.
أبو عامر، خوي
الحمد لله.
we are ready to class. Can we go on?
نعم شيخ.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهديه الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. أما بعد، we in this book Al-Adab Al-Mufrad by Al-Imam Al-Bukhari, we were on the discussions about Al-Ziyara, mutually visiting ourselves. We mentioned how the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam really encouraged that we visit ourselves as Muslims, and when aside or in addition to Islam, when in addition to Islam, the individual has relatives and he visits them, the rewards are tremendous. The first hadith we read regarding these matters, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to us, إِذَا عَادَ الرَّجُلُ أَخَاهُ أَوْ زَارَهُ قَالَ اللَّهُ لَهُ تِبْتَ وَطَابَ مَمْشَاكَ وَتَبَوَّأْتَ مَنْزِلًا فِي الْجَنَّةِ. When an individual visits his brother, whether the brother was ill or the brother was found in health, or he visits his brother, قَالَ اللَّهُ لَهُ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to him, تِبْتَ, you have done well. You have really reserved goodness for yourself. وَطَابَ مَمْشَاكَ, and your coming, your moving to him was of goodness. وَتَبَوَّأْتَ مَنْزِلًا فِي الْجَنَّةِ, and you have reserved a place of stay for yourself inside Al-Jannah. So these are the benefits of visiting a Muslim, visiting a brother for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It followed with the manners of the visit. What are the things we should do when we visit so that the rewards are completed? We have full rewards for the worship of visiting our brothers. The last hadith we read was under the chapter Fadlu Ziyara. Under the chapter Fadlu Ziyara, that was hadith 350, hadith of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu from the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, who told us a narration about a man, زَارَ رَجْلٌ أَخًا لَهُ فِي قَرْيَةٍ, a man visited one of his brothers in a village. فَأَرْصَدَ اللَّهُ لَهُ مَلَكًا عَلَى مَدْرَجَتِهِ فَأَرْصَدَ اللَّهُ لَهُ مَلَكًا عَلَى مَدْرَجَتِهِ, and it says in other reports, عَلَى طَبِيْتِهِ فَأَرْصَدَ اللَّهُ لَهُ مَلَكًا عَلَى طَرِيْتِهِ, Allah made an angel to sit on the way of that brother. Allah made an angel to sit on the path that this individual going to visit his brother would pass by. فَقَالَ أَيْنَ تُرِيدُ, the angel asked that man, the Muslim who was going to visit his brother, أَيْنَ تُرِيدُ, where are you going? قَالَ, he replied and said, أَخَنْ لِي فِي هَذِهِ الْقَرِيَةِ, I am going to visit one of my brothers in that village or in this village. أَخَنْ لِي فِي هَذِهِ الْقَرِيَةِ, the village here, I am going to visit my brother in the village. فَقَالَ, the angel asked him, أَهَلَّهُ عَلَيْكَ مِنْ نِعْمَةٍ, does he have a hand over you Has he favored you with something? Was he beneficial to you regarding something? Are you want to nurture it? You want to pay back the visit? You want to pay back goodness for goodness and make better in the interactions? Did he do something? Did he benefit you? Did he benefit you with something? You want to sustain and grow your relationship? Oh la la. The man answered in the negative. No, it wasn't as if he did anything to me. Yes, it is lawful to visit our brothers when they are beneficial to us, when they extend benefit to us. Yes, we visit them. You can visit them also for other issues of personal benefit as long as the foundation for the visit is not sin and disobedience to Allah. As long as the foundation of the visit is not sin and disobedience to Allah, which would make such visits a prohibition. So he said, no, I'm not visiting him because he did anything good to me and I want to sustain and build up upon. No, inni uhibbuhu illah. I have just loved this individual for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Qal, the angel said, فَإِنِّي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ إِلَيْكَ. I am a messenger of Allah to you. Allah has sent me to you. أَنَّ اللَّهَ أَحَبَّكَ كَمَا أَحْبَبْتَهُ. The message I have for you is that أَنَّ اللَّهَ أَحَبَّكَ كَمَا أَحْبَبْتَهُ. That Allah has loved you. Allah loves you. سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. Just as you have loved your brother for the sake of Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves you also. We had explained this hadith in the last class. Al-Imam al-Nawawi, rahimahullah, Abu Zakaria, rahimahullah, he said, في هذا الحديث فضل المحبة في الله تعالى. في هذا الحديث فضل المحبة في الله تعالى. This hadith highlights the virtue of loving someone for the sake of Allah, the Most Exalted. This hadith shows that it is very, very virtuous for an individual to love someone for the sake of Allah. So we had explained what loving for the sake of Allah, what does it mean? It means that you love that person because of certain acts of obedience to Allah that he carries out. Perhaps he observes the salah very regularly in the masjid and in Jama'ah. Perhaps he reads the Quran very well and he follows the rulings of the Quran. Or perhaps he is firm upon the sunnah. If a person is firm upon the Messenger Sunnah alayhi salatu wa salam, one of the things you find him doing all the time, he reads about ahadith, he enjoys discussions about the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wa salam, and things related to him in the deed to follow those noble lines of conduct of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. So because he is like this, you love him. Or that because he abstains from sin, sometimes people become exposed to certain things, perhaps because of the work or perhaps because of the kind of neighborhood that they live in. Yet they live above the sin that is common around them. So you begin to love them because they do something that Allah has loved. So this is the meaning of loving for the sake of Allah. You love someone because you can see from him that this person is obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Al-Imam al-Nawawi said, rahimahullah, fi hadha al-hadith, fadlu al-mahabbati fi Allahi ta'ala. This hadith contains the excellence of loving for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is that virtue? فالفيرتوز أحبك الله كما أحببت أخاك. Allah will love you as you have loved your brother. The virtue, the problem of loving for the sake of Allah, if you love a brother because he is obedient to Allah, if you love a brother because he gives zakat, you love a brother because he fasts after wa'ad, Mondays, Thursdays, if you love a brother because his azkar are sound, if you love a sister like you because she does not take her jilbab and her hijab and her niqab as a thing of play or as a thing of adornment, as many of the women do today. You love a woman, your sister, your aunt, and so on and so forth, because they are strict with the injunctions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they encourage other people to do what is good. If this is the reason why you have loved them, you have a virtue, you have a gain, you have a reward. And that reward is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will love you too. Not that he will love you, he loves you too. Because what has been mentioned for that man who had loved his brother, he was going to visit, the sake of Allah is also available for all those who love for the sake of Allah. If you love for the sake of Allah, just be rest assured that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves you too. And that is a virtue. Al Imam al-Nawawi said, "Fi hadha al-hadith, qablu mahabbati lillahi ta'ala, wa annaha sababun li hubbi lillahi ta'ala al-abda. And that your mahabba, your loving your brother for the sake of Allah, sababun li hubbi lillahi ta'ala al-abd. It's a means for Allah to love you. If you want Allah to love you, you should love goodness that your brother is upon. If you want Allah to love you, love the person who is upon found righteousness. If you want to be from amongst those that Allah loves, you should love a person who is found upon his deen." Then he said, rahimahullah, وَفِيهِ فَضِيلَةُ زِيَارَةِ الصَّالِحِينَ وَالْأَصْحَابِ وَفِيهِ فَضِيلَةُ زِيَارَةِ الصَّالِحِينَ وَالْأَصْحَابِ. The hadith also contains the virtue of visiting salihin, visiting righteous people. You could note that that man was going to the next village to visit his brother, and that his brother was upon righteousness. That his brother was upon righteousness, was upon piety, was upon the deeds that Allah loves, and so he is going to visit him. Wal ashab, likewise, our colleagues and our companions, our friends that we have loved for the sake of Allah, this hadith is evidence that it's a very, very virtuous thing to visit them. Let's not forget, when you visit them, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Allah will say to you, "Sister, you have done so well, وَفَضَ مَنْ شَافَ," and your coming to visit him is very, very good. وَتَبَوَّأْتَ مَنْزِلًا وَتَبَوَّأْتَ مَنْزِلًا فِي الْجَنَّةِ, and you have reserved a place of stay for yourself inside Al-Jannah. I think this is sufficient for the issues on Al-Ziyar. But before we leave this chapter, I like to highlight a point we might have gone past it and not highlighted it. And it is necessary that we highlight it. If you notice, we are talking about Al-Ziyara. We are not talking about Al-Ziyara. We have been talking about Ziyara, visiting. We have not talked about Al-Ziyara, entertaining your daif. The daif is your guest, and the Zair who makes Ziyara is your visitor. Sometimes both words words are interchangeably used. Sometimes ziyara is used in the place of a daif who comes to visit you at home. A daif is the person who travels all the way. He comes from a journey. That was why the Sharia has made it compulsory for you if a person travels all the way, perhaps from Lagos, perhaps from the North, Kaduna, to come to visit you. He intends to come and see you. He is coming to visit you. He has a right over you. Ulama repatriates have put the right to entertain your guests. And that right, upon the view of the majority of the ulama, they say that it is compulsory. A large number of ulama say that it is compulsory for you to entertain your brother on that first night. Someone comes all the way. He comes to see you, and he has traveled for that visit. It is upon you when he knocks the door. Salaam alaikum. Alaykum salam. Who is it? My name is Abdul Fattah. I have come from Kano to see you in Lagos. Ulama say it becomes compulsory for us to keep this visit up, entertain him, provide him meals for the first night. And they say if it happens over the other two nights, either counting second and third night, or second, the first, second, and third night, they say it's encouraged. But on the first night, there are reports regarding this. And we shall be coming to that, inshallah, in this book, Al-Adabul Mufrad. The rulings regarding entertaining a person who comes to visit us and who makes a journey to come and see us. This person is the daif. This person is the daif. But as for the zair, we are living together in the same area. We are living together in the same community, in the same city. Then he comes to visit us. For this zair, he cannot forget. And say salamu alaikum. We say wa alaikum salam. Yes, can I come in? Say, oh, please, let's make it tomorrow because I'm a bit busy now. You can say that to the driver, but you shouldn't say that to the boy. This is the difference between the zair and the boy. The ahadith have pointed to that. Even though the word zair can be used for a person who travels all along, when Salman al-Farisi traveled from Iraq to Sham to visit Abu Dharr al-Ghifari, in his to visit Abu Darda and his family, Abu Darda said, "Zarana Salman." Zaro, he used the word zaro, which means in that circumstance, Salman al-Farisi can be referred to as what zari. So that word can be used. But in the details of the rulings of the person who traveled to come and see us, is better referred to as what? Is better referred to as what? The same way, the person who comes upon a journey, it can be referred to as a zair. And the one who is within town too, who comes to visit us, can also be referred to as what? But these two words are sometimes used interchangeably. So sometimes you can, in fact, I heard one of the scholars saying that there's no difference between a zair and a daif. The zair, the visitor, the daif, your guest. They say there's no difference in between the two of them. So if you look at the narrations and the fact that the scholars place the two of them under different chapters, when they discuss ziyara, is different. When they discuss ziyafa, it's also different. They interchangeably use the words yes, but in terms of the details of the rulings regarding each of them, they are different. The daif travels to come and see you, is coming to meet you all the way. God is with you in the camp, but the two of them are brave when they come into your house. But they are brave. And even though that was brave, Takbalu Atashmiya was Takbalu Jam. That was brave. You can use it for two people. You can use it for a large number of people. The point here is, when you say brave, it's more specifically refers to a person who travels down. When you say Zair, it specifically refers to a person who is with you in the town what comes to the city. Even though the two words can be used interchangeably. I hope that this point is clear. The difference between the brave and the Zair. I hope that this matter is clear, inshallah. So having said that, we can move to the next chapter. Babu Rajuli Yuhibbu Qawman Walamma Yalhaq Bihim Ar-Rajuli Yuhibbu Qawman. The chapter about the person loving a group of people. He likes them because they are busy with knowledge. He likes them because they encourage other people to do what is good, and they are also giving love upon goodness. Those who are upon goodness, Allazina amanu wa amilu salihat, they are upon sound iman and good deeds, what our soul will help you. And then they encourage others to come upon the path of goodness. They encourage people to come, do good too, be like it. And they are not bad to Bismillah. They are also struggling to remain upon the path of goodness. So these people are rajulu yuhibbuhum. An individual would love them. They observe Salah, they observe Qiyamul Layl, they observe fasting the month of Ramadan, they have tasawwuf fasting 1 day, 12 days, three ayamul bid, the days of full moon at the middle of the month, they follow Sawmu Dawood, they always engage in studying the Quran, reading the books of tafsir, and so on and so forth, learning about Islam and getting better as individuals, connecting the ties of kinship, encouraging people to avoid evil, and all of these are the things that they do. So, but a man loves them, you like these people, walamma yalhaq bihim. But unfortunately, up to the time he's speaking, he has not been able to be like them. Lam yalhaq bihim. He has not been able to reach them. Lam yalhaq bihim. He has not lamma yalhaq. He has not been able to do like them. He's not able to study as these people study. He's not able to benefit people as these people benefit people. He's not able to make a lot of nawafil as these people make a lot of nawafil. But he loves them. So what is the condition of this man? He likes the people of righteousness, but he's still struggling. We understand from this firstly that righteousness is upon categories. We human beings, the Muslims, people of Iman, like an Imam al-Muzani said, Rahmahullah, وَالْمُؤْمِنُونَ وَالْمُسْلِمُونَ فِي الْإِمَانِ يَتَفَضَّلُونَ. The Muslims upon Iman, they are in levels. The level of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam is bigger than those of the companions. Amongst the companions, the best of them was Abu Bakr al-Siddiq, and then Omar, and then Uthman, and so on. And then Ali ibn Abi Talib, bismillah. And then the rest of the 10 that the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned and said he would be in the paradise. And then the people who partook in the Battle of Badr. And then the people who partook in Bay'atul Ridwan during Sulhu. And so on. These are the levels amongst the companions. So the Muslims fil iman yatafadalun wa bisalihil a'malihum mutazdaidun. What makes them come in the various levels is because their good deeds are also varying. You cannot compare Abu Bakr and Siddiq in terms of good deeds, even with Omar. Omar himself said it, that, oh, Abu Bakr, I have not tried to surpass you regarding any good deed, except that when I started, I find you in front of me. Umar radiallahu anhu would always confess to Abu Bakr al-Siddiq, if I try to do one good deed to surpass you, I find you in front. Remember a lot of ahadith regarding this. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also said that Abu Bakr al-Siddiq is the best of this ummah, radiallahu anhu. And he supported the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam with his wealth, with everything that he had. So because of these good deeds, he is at the highest of the levels. Just after the levels of the Anbiya, then you have Abu Bakr al-Siddiq, radiallahu anhu. And then the rest of the companions, Omar, Osman, and so on. So the reason why we are different, we have grades in Iman, because our good deeds are also in grades. Those who are best in good deeds are in the forefront. And then those who follow them, and then those who follow them, and then those who follow them. So you have a man at the lower part of the ladder. He likes good deeds. He likes Abu Bakr al-Siddiq. He likes Omar. He likes Osman. He likes the big scholars of the Ummah. He likes Ibn Baz. He likes Al-Albani. He likes Ibn al-Uthaymeen. He likes Sheikh Fawzan. These are the eminent people in the Ummah. He likes to be like them. But he's not able, he has not been able to do good deeds like them. Is there a reward for this? That's his love for them. That's his love for their status, for their goodness, for the righteousness that we hear of them. Does he benefit from it? Yes, the man benefits from it. The man benefits from it. So what are the benefits that he gains? Because he likes the people of righteousness. What does he gain? That is what we'll be discussing in this chapter. Al-Imam al-Bukhari starts with Hadith 351. He collected it from his Shaykh, Abdullah ibn Maslama. So he said, rahimahullah, Haddathana Abdullah ibn Maslama. Qala Haddathana Sulaiman ibn al-Mughira, an Humayr ibn Hilal, an Abdullah ibn al-Samit, an Abi Dharrin. Qult, Ya Rasulallah, الرجل يحب القوم ولا يستطيع أن يلحق بعملهم قال أنت يا أبا ذر ما من أحببت قلت إني أحب الله ورسوله قال أنت مع من أحببت يا أبا ذر. الإمام البخاري سيد رحمه الله حدثنا عبد الله بن مسلمة. عبد الله بن مسلمة happens to be one of the most learned people from amongst the teachers of Al-Imam Al-Bukhari. If you will note with me in this book, Al-Adab Al-Mufrad, and more with his book, Al-Sahih, we have always seen Al-Imam Al-Bukhari being from amongst the students of the best of the teachers in the circumstance. Those his teachers were from the best of their group. One of the benefits of this is that if you learn from a very good teacher, Allah makes you from amongst good people too. Because when you learn from the teacher, you take from him. But if he's a good person, you are likely to be very good. But if he's a bad person also, you are likely to be bad. And that was why it was common among the early Muslims that they would say, Inna hadha al-ilma deenun, this knowledge is itself deen. Fanzuru amman ta'khudhuna deenakum. O people, look well, consider it well. Who is it that you are taking your knowledge from? It's very important because it will affect your deen. If you take your knowledge from someone who is not a righteous person, you are not likely to be a righteous person. You are not likely to be righteous. The deen, if you learn your Islam from someone who is a jalabi person, those are us who take prayer as a job, you are not likely to be better than that. That is what the students will do too. If you learn your Islam from a person who follows lizards all around, That is what you are also likely going to consider as part of the religion. If you want to be a righteous person, check out, pick out who you learn from, select who you learn from, because your religion will be like the one of that person you have learned from. So the early Muslims would say, Fanduru, think well, consider it well and deeply. Who is it that you are taking your religion from? Because if you take from a bad person, your religion also is going to be bad. You will not have taken anything except bad religion. May Allah protect us. And Imam al-Bukhari has from amongst the best of the teachers, rahimahumullah. Here, Abdullah ibn Maslama. He is Abdullah ibn Maslama ibn Qa'nab al-Qa'nabi. He is Abu Abdurrahman. This Shaykh, the Shaykh of Bukhari, rahimahullah, one of the scholars, Abu Hatim al-Razi, he said he is Thiqatun Hujjatun. Thiqatun is a very, very reliable person. Hujjatun is a person that is depended on for evidence. Lam ara akhsha aminhu. I did not see any person more righteous than this man. This man has very big conscious fear of Allah. Ma aw lam ara akhsha aminhu. I have not seen anyone akhsha aminhu. Who has khashiyatullah? Who has conscious, fearful consciousness for Allah? Like this man Ibn Qa'nab al-Qa'nabi. They say, wa kana mujab al-da'wa. And Ibn Qa'nab kana mujab al-da'wa. He was a person who, when he supplicated to Allah subhanahu, what happens? Allah accepts his dua. Ibn Qa'nab al-Qa'nabi was a person who, when he supplicates, Allah accepts his supplication. Why? Kana min al-mujtahideen fil ibadah. He was from amongst those who exert great effort in worship. He exerts great effort in worship. He is a person of khashiyatullah. He is also a person to be depended on in the matters of deen. Wa kana mujab ad-da'wa. And he was a person who, when he supplicates, Allah accepts his prayer. This is Abdullah ibn Qa'nab al-Qa'nabi. He was one of the students of Al-Imam Malikin rahimahullah. He was in the studentship and guidance, under the guidance of Al-Imam Malik for over 30 years. Ibn Qa'nab al-Qa'nabi learned from Malik, was with Malik for about 30 years and more, such that he would say, I know all the reports of Malik because I hear him say them repeatedly. So you can see how the righteousness of Malik became implanted in Ibn Qa'nab al-Qa'nabi, and then how Ibn Qa'nab al-Qa'nabi gave back to the likes of who? Al-Bukhari, rahimahullah. So you can see the chain of good teachers. If you learn from good teachers, bismillah, inshallah, you are likely to be a good person. But if you learn from people who have difficulty, who have problems with their deen, they have problems with aqidah, they have problems with ibadah, they are enmeshed in innovations and bid'ah, it is not unlikely that you are going to be like that. May Allah protect us. So Imam al-Bukhari took this report from the Sheikh Abdullah ibn Maslama. And that is Abdullah ibn Maslamata. Ibn Qa'nabi al-Qa'nabi, rahimahullah. He said, Haddathana Sulaiman ibn al-Mughira. Sulaiman ibn al-Mughira is Abu Sa'id. Abu Sa'id, rahimahullah. And he is reporting from Humayd ibn Hilal. Humayd ibn Hilal ibn Hubayra. Humayd ibn Hilal ibn Hubayra. Abu Nasrin al-Basri. He is Abu Nasr, not Abu Nasir. There is a difference between the two. This is Nasr itself. Nasir is the fa'il of Nasara. So it is different from Nasr. The Nasr itself is the Nasr. Nasara yansuru Nasra. So this is Nasrun ko That's what we say, Nasrun min Allah. So he is Abu Nasrin Humayd ibn Hilal. And he is reporting from Abdullah ibn Samit al-Ghifari. The tabi'i of this hadith is Abdullah ibn Samit al-Ghifari. Abdullah ibn Samit al-Ghifari. Rahimahullah. He is the tabi'i of this hadith. And is reporting from Abu Dharrin al-Ghifari. Abu Dharrin al-Ghifari, his name is Jundub ibn Junada. Abu Dharrin al-Ghifari, his name is what? Jundub ibn Junada, radiyallahu anhu. He said, Ya Rasulallah. He reported that, I said, O Messenger of Allah, Ar-Rajulu yuhibbu al-Qawm. وَلَا يَسْتَطِيعُ أَنْ يَلْحَقَ بِعْمَلِهِمْ الرَّجُلُ يُحِبُّ الْقَوْمِ. An individual would love a people. He likes them. He loves them. These people are people of worship. They are people of ibadah. They are people of sunnah. They fast, they observe salah, nawafil, azkar. All of these are their traits. قِيَامُ اللَّيْلِ. They make sadaqat, they make visits to people, they try to keep good countenance, they bring people along, and all of these. An individual, Ar-Rajulu yuhibbu al-Qawm, yuhibbu al-Salihin, yuhibbu al-Ulama, if an individual would like righteous people, وَلَا يَسْتَطِيعُ أَنْ يَلْحَقَ بِعَمَلِهِمْ, for he becomes unable to be like them. He likes scholars. He likes teachers. He likes people who are steadfast upon the sunnah, but is not able to do what they are doing for so many reasons. For some of the people, because of age. For some of the people, because of certain circumstances they have found themselves. Some of the people, because of illness. A person may be ill. A person may have a bad leg. He can't stand for long in Qiyamul Layl. A person may not have the money at all to give sadaqah. He only even tries to feed himself. Or he likes the people who give sadaqah. He likes people who make good worship. He likes the people who struggle upon Allah's path. He likes the people who fast, or is not able to fast. Why? He has ulcer. She has ulcer. She likes the people who are on niqab, for example, because it's a good thing. Every good thing counts. Don't say, oh, I'm not upon one goodness, so you drop another good one. No, take all the good, as much as the one you're able to do, go on with it. So you like someone, she likes a sister who veils. She likes young children who have memorized the Quran. When they read the Quran, she's happy. She likes her daughters. They read the Quran, they dress properly, they are well behaved. They are doing well in marriage and in all of this. So you like goodness. وَلَا يَسْتَطِيعُ أَنْ يَلْحَقَ بِعْمَلِهِمْ. Or he's not able to be like them. I know an old woman like this. She's just always feeling that I wish that I can also read the Quran. I wish that I can also be teaching women. I wish that I can. You see them wishing. But they are old. If you teach them Alifun Ba'un Ta'un, they can't even remember anyone by the next time. Why? Old age. Sometimes it is sickness. For some people with some certain circumstances, they have found themselves. Like an example of having a lot of children. A woman would like to memorize the entire Quran, but she has a lot of children. The care for her children and her home may not allow her. So she begins to pay attention to taking care of the children, which is another act of worship. But she likes other women who have memorized the Quran. She likes them. She loves them. But she's not able to do like their own. There are so many things that can hamper a person from being able to be like the scholars, like the other women, like the other men who are striving, who are at the forefront. Al-Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal too had issues, rahimahullah, with traveling to meet one of their scholars. That the scholar was said to have been around. Others were going, said, I can't go. I don't have the money to be able to go. If I have money, I will go. So sometimes certain acts of good deeds become difficult for you. and you'll be thinking that I wish, I love to go, I wish to go, I desire to go, but I'm not able to go. So he loves the people who are able to do it. It means that this heart is not a heart that is consumed in hasad, jealousy. But some of the people, when they are not able to be righteous like some people, they direct hasad, they direct jealousy towards them. But this mind that we are talking about, yuhibbul qawm, he likes the people of goodness. But is not able to do those kinds of good deeds that they are doing. Abu Dharrin al-Ghifari, Jundub ibn Junabra, he asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so what will I do? What is my condition? And the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, anta ya Abu Dharrin ma'aman ahbabta. Anta ya Abu Dharrin ma'aman ahbabta. O Abu Dharrin, you will be with those that you love. If you love the scholars, you will be with them on the day of Qiyamah. If you love the people who fast a lot, you love them because they are fasting for the sake of Allah. You are not envious and jealous of them. You love them. You love their fasting for the sake of Allah. But here you are. You have ulcer. You can't fast. You have other illnesses for which you can't fast. But you love fasting. You love people who fast. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, anta ma'a man ahbabta. You will be with those that you love. You will be with those that you have loved. Sometimes some of the people, when they hear, oh, they are studying Sahih Bukhari somewhere, and the language of study is Arabic. They love to study. They love to be in the gathering, but they don't know Arabic. Maybe they are old, thinking that they can't find opportunity to learn and all of it. But they love those who do it sincerely for the sake of Allah. That love of them will earn them companionship with those people that they are seen upon, that they have seen upon goodness. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, anta ma'aman, anta ya Abu Dharrin ma'aman ahbabt, O Abu Dharrin, you will be with those that you have loved. Kult, Abu Dharrin asked again, inni uhibbu Allah wa rasulahu, wallahi, I love Allah and I love his messenger. So Abu Dharrin, it was like he saw the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He saw the worship of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the most worshipful. If you talk about fasting, he was best. If you talk about nawafil, he was best. If you talk about daily salah, he was best. He was the imam of the people, alayhi salatu wa salam. If you talk about niceness to family, he was the best. If you talk about patience, he was the best. If you talk about hastily coming upon goodness, he was the best. If you talk about regularly repenting to Allah, he was the best. If you talk about inviting people to goodness and being patient over the hardship that follows that, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the best. So it was like Abu Dharrin, and Abu Dharrin Jundub ibn Junada was also known for ibadah. So maybe he struggled. He liked what the Prophet was upon, alayhi salatu wasalam, but he was not able to reach it. He knew that, I couldn't reach this level of good deeds by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. لا يستطيع أن يلحق بعمله. He is not able to reach them. So he said, but I love Allah and his messenger. قال أنت مع من أحببت يا أبا ذر. O Abu Dharr, أنت مع من أحببت. You will be with those you love. This firstly shows that Abu Dharr al-Ghifari really liked the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If it was a lie when he said he loved Allah, it would be declared to be a lie. Like some people, they said they love Allah and Allah said that you are lying. They said they love the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Allah told the Prophet, don't mind them, they are liars, like the munafiqun. Allah told us in the Quran, إِذَا جَاءَكَ الْمُنَافِقُونَ قَالُوا إِنَّكَ لَرَسُولُ اللَّهِ. When Munafiqun come to you, Muhammad alayhi salatu salam, they say, oh, innaka la rasulullah. Oh, Muhammad, you are a messenger of Allah. Allah says, wallahu ya'alamu innaka la rasuluhu. Allah knows that you are his prophet, you are his messenger. Wallahu yashhadu innal munafiqin lakadibun. اتخذوا أيمانهم جنة فصدوا عن سبيل الله. They are only swearing and saying, declaring that they believe in you because they want to use it as a cover faith to dissuade people from the path of Allah. So sometimes people will say to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they love him, they believe in him, and Allah will show us that they are liars. Many places in the Quran, he will say, يَقُولُونَ بِأَلْسِنَتِهِمْ مَا لَيْسَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ. They will say upon their tongues what is not in their hearts. So when Abu Dharr said, إِنِّي أُحِبُّ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ, I love Allah and His Messenger, if it were a lie, it would have been exposed. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Abu Dharr, Anta ma'a man ahbabt ya Aba Dharr. You shall be on the day of Qiyamah with the one that you have loved. So if you love Muhammad and you really truly love Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, you will be with me. There are a number of companions who got this virtue. They expressed clearly on their mouths their love for the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And that is the general condition of the companions radiallahu anhu. They so much love the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. We remember the hadith of Mu'adh ibn Jabal. The Prophet said to him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Mu'adh, wallahi inni la uhibbuka fillah. I swear by Allah, I love you for the sake of Allah. Why? Mu'adh was a very righteous companion. He was reading the Quran. He made a lot of nawafil. He made a lot of fasting. He participated in jihad. He was always with the Prophet, in the service of the Prophet, asking the Prophet questions, seeking to be from amongst the best of the people. So the Prophet said, Uhibbuka fillah, I love you. Why? Your obedience to Allah. It's another way to express the meaning of al-mahabbatu fillah. I love you because you are obedient to Allah. I love you because you are obedient to Allah. You can interpret it to mean that. So al-mahabbatu fillah, loving the person for the sake of Allah, is to love him because that person is upon obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Mu'adh said in response to the Prophet too that, O Messenger of Allah, I love you. If it was a lie, it would have been exposed. Another similar incident was that of Ali ibn Abi Talib. Ali ibn Abi Talib also loves Allah and His Messenger. Clearly, so there were a number of situations like this. It was not restricted to Ali. Here we have hearing about Abu Dharr. We also know about the case of Mu'adh and many others amongst the companions. Wallahi, the companions love the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We know the case of Umar. When Umar said, O Messenger of Allah, I love you. I love myself and then you. The Prophet said, no. So then he said, oh, I love you more than myself. That's also a clear evidence that Umar also clearly got that love. If it was a lie, like it was a case of Munafiqun, Allah would have exposed it. So when it was affirmed, it means these people really truly love Allah and His Messenger. So the Prophet said to Abu Dharr al-Ghifari, Anta ma'a man ahbabta ya Aba Dharr. Abu Dharr, you will be with those you love. In fact, one of the ways of being with those that you love, they're upon knowledge, they're upon so many things. Sometimes you sit in the gathering. You are in the gathering of the people that you love. Sometimes people make Umrah and they're in the Masjid an-Nabawi of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Messenger's Masjid. And then they see scholars teaching. They don't understand Arabic, but they still go and sit down there. Why? They love that gathering of knowledge. That is Rawdatul Min Riyad al-Jannah. One of the guardians of al-Jannah are the guardians of learning. Those halakot that you are seeing. When you see a halqa, go and sit down there. The Messenger referred to it, alayhi salatu wasalam, as Rawdatun min Riyadul Jannah. Not just in the Prophet's Masjid. Wherever you see people sitting down, what are they doing? They are learning Islam. Go and sit down there out of love for what they are doing. You may not understand the language, but you gain the companionship with the people learning and teaching the deen. Is very, very, very beneficial. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if you love someone for the sake of Allah, from the gains, from the benefits of your loving a person for the sake of Allah, is that you be in the company of that person on the day of Qiyamah. This is a very, very big benefit. I think we can quickly move to the next hadith. Inshallah, that is hadith 352. Where al-Imam al-Bukhari said, rahimahullah, حدثنا مسلم ابن إبراهيم قال حدثنا هشام قال حدثنا قتادة عن أنس أن رجلا سأل النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم فقال يا نبي الله متى الساعة فقال وما أعددت لها قال ما أعددت من كبير إلا إني أحب الله ورسوله فقال صلى الله عليه وسلم البرء مع من أحب قال أنس فما رأيت المسلمين فرحوا بعد الإسلام أشد مما فرحوا يومئذ. الإمام البخاري reports from his شيخ مسلم بن إبراهيم. مسلم بن إبراهيم أبو عمر was a very very learned person from amongst the scholars. It is Muslim Ibn Ibrahim Abu Amr Al-Azdi. He is what? Abu Amr Al-Azdi. He has something I like to talk about. He was that one amongst some of the scholars. There were some of the scholars who never married at all. One of them was Muslim Ibn Ibrahim. He never had a private relationship. He never had a wife. Never had a private relationship as we know it between a man and his wife. Not halal, not haram. No haram, no halal. Never had any relationship with a woman. Muslim Ibn Ibrahim. There were circumstances leading to that. There are some of the scholars in the history of Islam like that. Circumstances. One of them was Al-Imam al-Tabari, the author of Tafsir al-Tabari. He also had that. Sometimes they explained the reason, sometimes they did not explain the reason. But it was not out of asceticism that, oh, we don't want to marry. No, something would have happened that would make them not to have a wife. So they never had a relationship as we know it between a man and his wife. Rahimahumullah. One of the scholars compiled the name of these scholars. They referred to the book as Al-Ulama'u Al-Uzzan. Al-ulama'u al-uzzah, the scholars who never became married. Some of them because of young age. Some of them, they didn't have what by which they could maintain a wife. So many reasons. But the sunnah of this ummah is to marry. So it was not as if they did not want to marry. Because the Prophet said, alayhi salatu salam, man aradiba an sunnati alayhi salam, the one who dislikes, he becomes inclined away from my sunnah, is not upon my way. So it was not as if they did not like to marry, but circumstances made them fall in that. So Muslim Ibn Ibrahim was one of them, Abu Amr al-Azdi. He said, Haddathana Hisham. Hisham, here is al-Imam Hisham al-Dastwari. He is Hisham al-Dastwari, Abu Bakrin al-Dastwari. He is reporting from the Shaykh Qatada, and that is Qatada ibn Di'amah al-Sadusi. Qatada ibn Di'amata al-Sadusi, rahimahullah, the eminent tabi'i and student of Anas ibn Malik. He is reporting from Anas, here he said, and Anas. This narration came from who? Anas ibn Malik. And the kunya of Anas is what? Abu Hamza. Anas ibn Malik, his kunya is what? Abu Hamza, rahimahullah. He said, Anna rajulan سأل النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم إيمان asked the Prophet صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم He said متى الساعة When will the day of judgment come? متى الساعة When? Which day is the day of judgment? Which day is the last hour? Which day is it that the last hour will come? When will the last hour be established? And we know this is common in the Quran that Allah will say to us, وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ السَّاعَةِ He asks you about when is the day is going to come? We have so many reports. Likewise, when Jibril came to ask the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when will the day of Qiyamah be established? The messenger said, مَلْ مَسْكُولُ أَنْهَا بِأَعْلَمَ مِنَ السَّاعَةِ The one who is asking does not know. So the one we have asked to does not know. I don't know better than the one who is asking me. The one who is asking me does not know. So I don't know too. So no one knows the Sa'ah. When will it be established? But there is something we all must know and we must be ready for. We must believe in it. And then we must be prepared for it. One of the scholars gave an illustration. He said, if a man came to tell you in your village that an army was coming to invade your village. So the people become divided into two. One group of people began to prepare to defend the village. The other group of people began to ask you, when are they coming? Around what time? Is it 12:30 a.m. or 12:15 or 1:30? So which of the groups is better? Which of the group is better? The group that heard that an invading army was coming, he does not know the time. He just starts preparing. Anytime we are ready. Or the one that is waiting to know whether they are coming at 12:15 or 12:30. So you see, the first group is the best group. So when this companion asks, Matasa, when is the last day going to be established? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَمَا أَعْدَتْ عَلَهَا He diverted his question from when is it going to happen to the first group of people. What have you prepared for it? Because that is what is most important. You may live and die and then a sa'ah has not been established. So if it's going to be established after your death, what have you gained by knowing that it's to be established? You have not prepared for it and then you died. So what benefits is to prepare for it? Prepare for it. And that's why it was a common thing amongst the early Muslims. They said that, Man mata, qamat qiyamatuhu. Whoever dies, his own qiyamah has come. Because every person's time is his sa'ah. So you can say you have two kinds of sa'ah. The sa'ah that comes to individuals. And the sa'ah that will come to the entirety of creation. So what is most important about the day of judgment is that everybody becomes prepared for it. Because each of us can be taken from this dunya anytime. I can be taken anytime. You can be taken anytime. Anybody can be taken. So what's the essence of knowing that Asa is in 40, 50, for example, and then you are going to die in 2030. So you are waiting for 40, 50, and you are going to die in 20. So it's not really, really important to say, oh, when is it coming? What is most important? And that was what the Prophet did, alayhi salatu wasalam. He diverted his attention to something more important. Ulama referred to it as al-jawabul hakim. Al-jawabul hakim is that someone is asking about a question, but there is a question more important than the question he's asking. So you give him an answer to portray a more important, more encompassing response instead of asking this is the important question to ask. So that answer that you give him that's more important, more encompassing than the question that he has asked. Ulama refer to it as what? Al-Jawabul Hakim. So instead of telling him that Asa'a, the last hour will be established on the 14th of February 20, whatever, and things like this. The Prophet diverted his attention to something more important. He asked him, "Wama a'adatta laha? what is it that you have prepared for that day? And that companion, radiallahu anhu, said, Ma a'adattu min kabirin. Ma a'adattu min kabirin. O Messenger of Allah, I have not prepared much. I have not prepared much, O Messenger of Allah. In another report in Sahih al-Bukhari, he said, Ma a'adattu laha min kabiri salatin wala siyamin wala sadaqatin. Ma a'adattu laha min kabiri salatin wala siyamin wala sadaqatin. O Messenger of Allah, it's not as if I have prepared much nawafil salat. Ma a'adattu laha min kabiri salatin. I've not prepared much salah. Wala siyamun. I have not prepared much tatawwu. I only have my Ramadan. Perhaps I don't fast Monday, Thursdays. I don't fast. I only have Ramadan. I don't have much salah. I don't have nawafil, rawati. I don't have. Wala sadaqah. I don't even have money to give sadaqah. Even zakah, I may not have given. Radiallahu anhu. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was listening to him. The man said, Ma a'adattu min kabir. I have not prepared much. No much nawasit. No much. Illa anni uhibbullah wa rasulah. What I know is that I really love Allah and I love Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I love the Messenger of Allah. I love his righteousness. I love his salah. I love his fasting. I love all the tatawu'at that he does. I love as he invites us to goodness. I love as he prohibits us evil. I love all these goodnesses. I love the fact that Allah sent him to us. He brought the Quran to us. So I love the Messenger. He removed us from bulumat of jahiliyyah, the darknesses of jahiliyyah. He brought us onto Sirat Mustaqim. So I love the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Waqal, at that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam answered, Ant al-mar'u ma'a man ahabba. Al-mar'u ma'a man ahabba. The individual will be with those that he loves. The individual will be with those that he loves. So if your own love is Ronaldo, that is where you are going to be. Why do you love Ronaldo? It's cause goals. Why do you love Ronaldinho? It's cause goals. That is what you will be. Those are the people you will be with. It means scoring goals is the indices of your own love. Scoring goals is the indices of your own love. Have you loved those people who make nawafil? Have you loved those people who read Quran and teach Quran and follow the rulings of Quran? Have you loved the people of righteousness? You are investing your love in things that do not matter. So be careful for the sake of them. Some people love musicians. They love one musician, a small boy, moving on around. Those are the people you invest your love in. So where you invest your love in tells us the kind of person that you are. You can't love a musician and say, you don't love me. You can't love a footballer and say you don't love football. You can't love an entertainer and say that your love is not inclined towards entertainment. So if you love Salah truly, your mind will be upon Salah and teaching Salah and observing the Salah. If you love Sadaqah, your mind will be upon it and you will love the people who are doing it. I think in these days of ours, when everything has become mixed up, everybody is on the social media, every person, we need to declare where our love is. If your love is for Allah and His Messenger, then it is those who are upon the path of Allah and His Messenger that you can love. How can you love someone who is not upon the path of Allah and His Messenger? Where is your al-wala'u wal-bara? Where is your disconnection for sin and its people? How can you say you love someone who is an entertainer? A woman who goes about showing herself in the public. How can you love that person? And think that, yes, this is a valuable thing that you are doing. So for the sake of Allah, redirect your attention. Who do you love? Ask yourself, sit down, who do you love? And why do I love that person? So just, but you must understand that if those people you love are footballers, the meaning is that your love is upon football. But if the people you love are the companions, like we will hear, Anas ibn Malik, radiallahu anhu, when the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, that al-mar'u ma'a man ahabba, the individual will be with those that he loves on the day of Qiyam. Anas said, فَمَا رَأَيْتُ الْمُسْلِمِينَ فَرِحُوا بَعْدَ الْإِسْلَامِ, I have not seen the companions being so glad after they were glad because Allah brought them into Islam. I have not seen the happiness they got. أَشَدَّ مِمَّا فَرِحُوا يَوْمَ إِذٍ, how happy they were on that day is only second to the happiness that I saw of them when they first entered into Islam. Why were they happy? Like in another report, Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu said, فَأَنَا أُحِبُّ النَّبِيَّ وَأَبَا بَكْرٍ عُمَرٍ, I love the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I love Abu Bakr al-Siddiq, I love Umar, وَأَرْجُوا أَنْ أَكُونَ مَعَهُمْ بِحُبِّي إِيَّهُمْ, and I hope to be with them because of my love for them. وَإِنْ لَمْ أَعْمَلْ بِمِثْلِ أَعْمَالِهِمْ, even if I have not made nawafil like Abu Bakr, even if I have not made jihad like Umar, even if I have not made sadaqah like Uthman, and all of these, أَرْجُوا أَنْ أَكُونَ مَعَهُمْ بِحُبِّي إِيَّهُمْ, I hope to be like them. This is where we should set our minds. We should love Abu Bakr, Omar, Uthman, because they are people of righteousness. Even their fellows amongst the companions love them more than everything. وَإِنْ لَمْ أَعْمَلْ بِمِثْلِ أَعْمَالِ, even if I have not done the kind of good deeds, I love them. I love the good deeds they are upon. For the sake of Allah, we should redefine our love. We should redefine what we are fond of. We should redefine what we have affection for. Many of us have affection for things that are wrong. Why not love the Messenger? Why not love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Be rewarded with Allah's love. If Allah loves you, have you lost anything? Isn't it that you have gained everything because Allah loves you? Why not love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Why not love the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam? Why not love the companions and earn rewards and Allah's love for loving them? Then look around where you are. There are people who struggle to be good too. Love them, because you're loving them is from the aspects of your love for goodness. You're loving them is from your love for goodness. I always tell some of the elites when I have opportunity to discuss with them, if you hate someone, because they are always saying sunnah, 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 you have problems. If you hate a person, oh, sunnah, 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 you have problems. Or that the list of excuses we have for you, that you see, you are ignorant of some things. Otherwise, the sunnah of the Messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam, is a thing for you to love. It's not a thing for you to dislike. Your dislike for it is from the aspects of hypocrisy, and it is bad. You can't be saying Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, and then you dislike those who follow Muhammad. How can you testify that he's a messenger of Allah? He's a messenger of Allah so that he can be followed. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِنْ رَسُولٍ إِلَّا لِيُطَاعَ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ, we have not sent any messenger except that messenger should be followed and obeyed. So if you say Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, the implication of your shahada anna Muhammadan Rasulullah is that follow Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So if you truly know, that's why we are saying the excuse can be ignorance. If you truly know that this is the implication of your saying Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, should, can you now hate someone who is following Muhammad? Should you hate someone who is following Muhammad? Should you yourself not love to follow the Prophet alayhi salam, and love a person because that person is upon the sunnah? So if you hear someone say, we are those sunnah, just berating the sunnah, berating the people of the sunnah, he has little iman, or that the person has a lot of ignorance. Either little iman and then a lot of ignorance, or both put together. May Allah protect us from this failure. So what is of virtue, what is of goodness for us, is to love goodness and righteousness and those who are upon it. And the reward for that is that Allah will bring you in their company, inshallah, on the day of Qiyamah. I hope that these narrations are clear. Al-mar'u ma'a man ahabba. The individual will be on the day of Qiyamah with those that he loves. If you love the Prophet, inshallah, the Prophet will be in Al-Jannah. You will be in Al-Jannah with him. If you love Abu Bakr al-Siddiq, bismillah, Abu Bakr will be in Al-Jannah, you will be in Al-Jannah with him. If you love Bob Marley died of kufr. These are from the people of Jahannam. You will be there with him. You see now? You see how dangerous it is? Ar-rajlu awil mar'u ma'a man ahabba. So for the sake of Allah, let us disgorge ourselves of love that is not lawful. Love that is not lawful. And we know that it is not lawful because the foundation of that love and the indices of that love will be something that is not lawful. I hope these two narrations are clear today, inshallah. The time is already far spent. Maybe we can take one question today before we call it a day. Abu Amir.
نعم يا شيخنا أحسن الله إليك جزاك الله خير.
I wasn't looking at the time, sorry.
نعم. So the question here reads. Okay, inshallah. Will people who are few deeds who love to be with the best of people from the prophets, companions, righteous ones be together in the same level in Al-Jannah based on this hadith? Barakallahu feekum Shaykhana.
No, it is still upon the level of the love, because the love itself is upon various levels. The love itself is upon various levels. If 10 people love Abu Bakr al-Siddiq, it is not possible that all the 10 have the same level of love for Abu Bakr al-Siddiq, and every person will be rewarded according to their levels. Everybody will be rewarded according to their levels. So the first level is just even being inside Al-Jannah with them. The second level is the level of nearness with them. How near are you to them? And those who will be most nearest to them are those who love them more than the rest of us and who did more good deeds. Don't forget. So you have two things propelling you, pushing you forward. Your love of goodness and your doing of goodness. The two is moving you forward. So as you work on your love for goodness, you're also working on the deeds of goodness. So if you have small deeds of goodness, and a lot of love for goodness, you are not like a person who has a lot of love for goodness and a lot of good deeds. The one who has a lot of good deeds than you, and perhaps you are both not also on the level of love for goodness, you won't be on the same level. So the nearer you want to be, the more love you should invest, the more attention you should pay for to good deeds. So you go, you move, you'll be getting closer. People will be closer to them. The better your love, the better your good deeds, the closer you are with these people. I hope that the matter is clear. The more good deeds we have, the more love we have. Of course, our love itself is from the aspects of good deeds. So the more love you have, it is from the deeds of the heart. The more love you have, the more good deeds you do, the nearer you are. The more love you have, the more good deeds you do, the nearer you are. People will not see at the same level of closeness at all. At all. May Allah make it easy for us. But at least, let's love them, increase our love for them. So we seek nearness to them with our loving them and striving upon the deeds. I hope that is clear, Abu Amir.
I'm Shaykhana. Salawatullahi alayhi.
Ameen, ameen wa iyakum. Can we call it today? Today we spent the time in love.
نعم جزاك الله خير أحسن الله
إليك. And then we will come back to class tomorrow about elders, how we relate with our elders, and the virtue of being an elderly person upon Islam. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.